The International Service of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation presents The Rum Runners, a comedy series written by author Norman Creighton about the rum goings-on in Canada's maritime provinces during the bad or good old days of Prohibition, depending on how you look at it. The hero or arch-villain of the series, again, depending on your viewpoint, is Inspector John McMulloch of the Revenue Department, whose vital task is to stamp out drinking, and the smugglers, who made a business and profit out of encouraging a wee dram at literally any cost. Now, here is the case of the Lighthouse Bard with Inspector McMulloch.
Beach. What could be pleasanter? Even on a foggy day like this, with music provided by the nearest lighthouse. You can't see it, the lighthouse. The fog's too thick. But it's over there, near Pictou. Oh, I'd better explain where we are. This is on the north shore of Nova Scotia, in Pictou County. There's a town of Pictou, you know, and Pictou County. But all you have to do is ask the first person you come to if their name is Henderson, or Ross, or McKay, or Fraser. And if they say it is, with a hint of a Highland lilt, then you'll know you're in Pictou. Very simple, really. And I'll tell you something else. These lighthouse keepers in Pictou County are men of pretty independent mind. Almost as independent as they were in their grandfather's time when I patrolled these beaches watching for the rum runners. Take the man who used to keep the lighthouse over yonder, for instance. Duncan MacGregor. Now, there was a man who knew his own mind. As independent as they came.
Beer now. I've had enough.
Do you want some more tea, Duncan?
No more tea. If you're finished, we shall conclude the meal. As soon as daughter returns to the table.
Margaret, your father's about to offer thanks for the meal. Oh, she must have gone outside.
Well, we'll not wait for her.
Oh, do you want some more oatcakes, Duncan?
No more oatcakes, woman. I've had quite sufficient. Now let us bow our heads. Lord, we thank thee for the bodily nourishment thou hast provided us this day. Bless it to our use, and keep us in the ways of right living and high thinking.
Oh, amen.
Well, now, are my rubber boots fit to go out and tend the nets?
Oh, I put them to warm by the kitchen stove. They may not be ready yet.
In that case, there's time to enjoy a few verses of poetry. Hand me the volume from the sideboard, if you please. And let us improve our minds.
The cover needs to be sewn on again.
Aye, thank you. Now, what shall it be? The Briggs of Ayr?
Oh, Duncan, if you don't mind, I think I'll go out in the kitchen and clean up the dishes.
The dishes? Are they that important?
Oh, we can hear you out there, Dad, while we go on working. We can hear you.
Very well. Now, let me see. Something to stir the mind and uplift the spirit.
Oh, I'll just gather these dishes up. I'll take them out to the kitchen. Now, you just go on reading, Dad. We can hear you out here. Daughter and I, we can hear you.
Is there for honest poverty that hangs his head?
Is he going on at that poetry again,
our
Mum?
Slave,
he's reading Burns.
Oh,
now, you mustn't criticize your father.
And all that.
Reading poetry is one of his main pleasures in life.
He doesn't have to read them out loud.
I know, child, but he likes
the
to feel them, too.
For all that.
Oh, it's that one about poverty again. Why does he always have to be reading about poverty?
Oh, hush now. Stop your pounding. Your father will hear you.
Willie Morrison came to the door a minute ago. And when he heard Dad asking you to get the book, he took to his heels. Look out there, he's pedaling off down the road on his bicycle like old Clootie was after him.
Oh, I wouldn't believe Burns could do that to a man.
Last time Willie was here, Dad kept him up till after 11 o'clock reading the Quarter Saturday night.
I know, child. It makes it difficult for you, I know.
None of the boys will come out here to the lighthouse. They won't even see me home from the dance. He's always waking up with that book of poetry.
Oh, but your father means well, Chuck.
Sometimes I wonder whatever's going to become of me. I keep weaving and weaving at my loom and putting it away in my hook chest and making pillowcases, and what's the good of it all?
No, I've got an idea. Look, there's something here in the paper.
Don't see any chance of getting a husband if Dad keeps on reading poetry.
No, just a moment. No, here it is. In the Pictou Advocate.
Perhaps I should go down to Boston and get a job as a nurse.
Now listen to this.
Maybe down there I could find someone I could talk to without poetry going on all the time.
Now listen to this advertisement. In stock, the marvel of the age, the newest invention, the radio. Music, conversation, in your own home. Price installed, $59.95.
I'm getting that on for 19. The girl can't wait forever.
Brother, see for
Margaret,
all that.
If we took all your weaving and all your pillowcases and went into town and sold them, maybe. Do you think we could get $59.95?
I don't know.
Well, now, if we could, then you could buy a radio.
What's the good of a radio?
Well, no, I've got a feeling. The young men might prefer listening to the radio than listening to Robert Burns.
A radio? I wonder what they sound like.
Well, now let's go in town, lass, and find out.
It's squealing, Mum. It's squealing.
Oh, I hear it.
There's something alive in there. It's making a noise just like the man said.
Oh, but it doesn't seem to be saying anything, though.
He told us we'd have to wait till after sundown. It only works after dark.
Oh, the sun's been down now for half an hour.
Wait. Oh, Mum, I think I hear something now. I'm going to turn this little knob. Just a hair.
You're listening to your Westinghouse station in Pittsburgh, KDKA. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from KDKA, a very special announcement. Tonight, we bring you a ringside broadcast from the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship between Jack Dempsey and George Carpentier. The record of boys of 30 acres in Jersey City. Keep tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes, we will.
KDKA for this thrilling event. Oh. And now, for your listening pleasure, we bring you Dave the Rave and his Colony Club Cotton Pickers.
Oh, my.
The latest dance tunes of the day.
Oh.
Music. It's music.
Just as smart as the man said.
Oh, it really was.
Oh, man, I'm going to run over and tell Willie Morrison. I'm going to tell Danny Anderson and Hugh MacDonald and Neil McKinnon. Oh, they can all come and listen to the prize fight.
Oh, hurry, child, before it begins.
Oh, don't touch it, Mom.
No.
Till I get back.
No.
Don't touch it.
Oh, no, I won't touch it. Oh, merciful heaven. Music coming from Pittsburgh. Duncan. Come and listen. Oh, hurry up. Hurry up, Duncan.
What is this? What the devil's going on here? Woman, who let this bedlam loose in our kitchen?
Oh, look, Duncan, we've got a radio.
Well, stop it.
Oh, it's from Pittsburgh, Duncan. It's coming from Pittsburgh.
I said stop it.
It's coming from Pittsburgh.
How do you turn this off? How do you turn the infernal thing off?
Oh, Duncan.
There. Where did this thing come from?
Oh, Margaret bought it in town.
She bought it?
Oh, now, Duncan. You mustn't be cross with the girl. She bought it with her own money. She sold all the tartans she's been weaving.
What?
Oh, and mind you, the man says we're the first ones in Pictou County to have a radio.
She spent her weaving money on this?
Oh, but Duncan, it works. You heard it.
I heard it.
And mind you, tonight, the prize fight's coming on between Jack Dempsey and Carponche. She's run over to tell Willie Morrison and Hugh MacDonald and...
There is to be no prize fight tonight in our kitchen.
Oh, but Duncan... The girl's counting on it. That's why she bought the radio. So that the young men would come out to the lighthouse to listen. Oh, don't you understand?
I understand.
You see, the radio gives her a certain advantage over the other
girls. You needn't explain, woman. I know exactly what's in your mind. The whole thing is perfectly clear. It all started 5 years ago. With those fly screens.
What's the fly screens got to do with it?
It started the day Mrs. Donald Ross put screens on our kitchen window to keep out the flies. I remember. You came home all full of it. You kept nagging at me until I had to buy fly screening and put it on our windows to keep the flies out. So we could let everybody know that we had fly screens on our windows.
Well, don't you think it's a good thing to keep the flies out?
That wasn't all. That wasn't all. That was only the beginning.
Oh.
Then came the roller towel.
Oh, well, what's wrong with the roller towels?
We got along perfectly well without a roller towel until Mrs. Henderson installed one. Then there was nothing for it, but we had to have a roller towel, too. And now it's to be this. Thing, a radio. Well, I'm putting my foot down.
Oh, daughter's not doing it to brag on it, Dad. It's just she wants some company, that's all. Oh, you can't blame her for wanting company.
You're training the girl in decency.
No, I'm not.
Making out we're something we're not. Rating ourselves a little better than our neighbors, huh? And on the strength of a roller towel and a patent music box.
It's a radio, Dad. It isn't a music box.
You're setting a poor example, woman. Encouraging this kind of thing. As the twig is bent, so is the tree inclined.
Well, if we don't do something, how's daughter ever going to get a husband? It's a long ways out here to the lighthouse.
Oh, she'll find a husband.
How?
Very simple. Just by being herself and not pretending to be something she is not.
Oh, she's not pretending anything.
We are judged by what we are, woman, not by what we'd like people to think we are. It's just as Bobby Burns said, the rank is but the guinea's stamp. The man's the goat for all that.
Oh, I know, Dad. Hmm? That's all very true.
I don't like to boast, But all my life I've tried to play an honest game, to give an honest day's work. It's been a religion with me to do my job thoroughly. I've always given a wee bit more than I'm paid to do. They came after me to take over this lighthouse. I didn't go after them. If the girl would follow her father's example, there'd be boys coming out here courting her in droves.
No, Duncan, you're a fine, honest man, and the girl respects you for it, as I do myself. But still and all,
let
there comes a time...
Let your light so shine before... who is that now?
Maybe one of the boys coming out to listen to the radio.
Well, it's not to be turned on.
Oh, Duncan.
No argument, woman. None of that.
Just for tonight.
I've said what I've said. It's not to be turned on.
Oh.
Is anyone home?
Oh.
Might I come in?
Oh, I was expecting someone else. Yes, of course. Please step in.
Thank you. Thank you. Very kind.
Come in, sir, and sit yourself down. Our door is always open to the stranger.
Thank you. Mr. MacGregor, I believe?
Aye, that's correct.
Yes. I have come, sir, to give thanks to you for that light that shines out so brightly across the water.
Oh, yes. You know, indeed.
Well, as I rowed the jolly boat in from my vessel just now, my ship is anchored out there, sir, at the head of Pictou Harbor, I thought to myself, how wonderful it is that we have a warning guide, such as this stout lighthouse, flashing out its welcome to the weary seafarer.
That's the purpose of it. To help guide ships safely into port.
Yes, well, I tried to explain that to my first mate, but you know, he doesn't trust even the beam from a lighthouse.
Well, that's strange. What's he afraid of?
Well, we carry a very precious cargo, ma'am.
Oh?
Yes. You see, things made of glass, you know, and filled with rare products, yes, from the West Indies. From the French islands of St. Pierre and Miquelon.
Oh, like perfumes?
Yes, like perfumes. Precisely, madam. A cargo that in many ways is both fragile and very risky.
Oh, I hope you get it safely ashore.
Yes, so do I.
Just keep watching for the fixed light in the tower of the custom house. And keep us in the range and you'll clear the channel.
Would it be possible, Mr. MacGregor, for you to give a little, extra warning?
How would I do that?
Well, my first mate is such a timid man. You see, I promised him some sort of sign from the shore that, the coast was clear, so to speak.
Well, I don't know just what I could do beyond what I'm doing now.
Well, suppose you, started your foghorn going, huh?
Foghorn?
Yes.
But there's no fog out tonight.
Oh, no. Exactly. You see, in that way, he'd know it was a signal now, wouldn't he? Hmm?
Yes, I suppose he would.
I've never heard of putting the foghorn on a clear night like this.
Well, if it's a help to navigation, I'm certainly willing to do my part, Captain.
Well, I knew I could depend on you, Mr. MacGregor. Well, you know, I've heard of this famous Pictou hospitality. Yes, sir. Ottawa has a reason to be proud of you, sir. A lighthouse keeper who serves beyond the call of duty.
It's like I tell my daughter and my wife here. A man should always be ready to go the extra mile.
A man should always be ready to go the extra mile. Oh, very wise. Very wise indeed. So I'll remember that. Well, thanks to you, sir, we'll have a head start.
What's the matter with the poor wee thing? It's not working.
Oh.
There it is. It's gone again. It's gone again, Mom. What'd you turn it off for?
I didn't turn it off, child. Your father stopped it. Now, don't play with it. He might hear
you. It's dancing music, Mom.
Oh, you hear it, child. Now, make it stop.
Oh, it's the latest
now,
ragtime.
Now, listen, Margaret.
After the prize fight, we'll have a dance.
Oh, turn it off. Turn it off.
I'll have four young men to dance with me, Mum, all by myself. There's Willie Morrison and Dan Henderson and Hugh MacDonald and Neil McKinnon. They're all coming over to listen to the radio. Don't turn it off, Mum. Don't. It mightn't come on again.
I'm afraid it's not going to come on. Not the way your father feels.
Oh, what's happened?
He's taken a turn against it, child. He doesn't approve.
Oh, you mean we won't be able to listen to the prize fight?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, but we've got to. Oh. We've got to, Mum.
He's very firm, Margaret. Don't you cross him now.
Oh, but I asked the boys all of listen. John Henderson and Hugh MacDonald and Willie Morrison and Neil McKinnon, they're all coming out to hear the fight. They're laying wagers on it.
Oh, you'll just have to tell them. We can't listen to it tonight.
Oh, I can't do that, Mom. I have to tell them about here in Pittsburgh and what it sounded like. They want to hear it, too.
I know. I want to hear it myself.
I just couldn't tell them. No. Mom, I couldn't tell them the dad wouldn't let me play it. I couldn't. Oh, Mom, I just couldn't do it.
No, Margaret.
What's going on here?
No, child.
What's all this hullabaloo?
I invited them out to listen.
Oh, she wants to play radio.
There now. Let's not have any tears over this. Show a bit of character, girl. You've got to learn to take disappointment in this life.
I don't want to show any character. I want to hunt.
It's not that bad. We can entertain them in our own way. I'll read them something from Burns.
And now it's a foghorn. We won't be able to hear anything with that thing blatting. What's the foghorn got to be going for? There's no fog out tonight.
Oh, it's a signal to a vessel anchored offshore.
Now, there is an example of doing things for others, not thinking for your own pleasure. Your old dad, he had to get up with his rheumatics bothering him, and hobble over to the light and turn on the foghorn. But I did it gladly. I didn't complain. No. Now listen, girl. If you'd put your mind to something like that, instead of squandering your money on useless toys, you'd have no trouble getting a husband.
John! Can't we listen to the prize fight?
No. You're to take that machine into town to whoever sold it to you. And see if you can get your money back. And I want you to do it right now. This evening.
Take it back.
Go out and harness up the carriage.
Oh, no, Dad, you can't do that. You can't ask her to take it back.
It's the only way she'll ever learn not to be taken in by some fast-talking salesman.
What am I going to tell the boys when they get here? What am I going to tell them?
Oh, Dad. How can you do that to the girl?
Someone has to set the child an example, or she'll be taken in with this sort of trumpery all through her life. Radios.
But Duncan,
it
worked.
Time music and prize fights. Now let's hear no more about it, woman. Fetch me my volume of Burns, if you please. I think I'll read a little poetry.
That must be one of the boys.
Oh, tell them there's to be no prize fighting tonight.
Yes?
Does Mr. McGregor live here?
Yes, come in. Duncan, someone to see you?
Yes, sir. Come in.
Mr. McGregor, I'm Inspector John McMullen.
Oh, it's the inspector. Well, sir, you'll find everything in order. The reflector is polished.
Oh, no, I'm not a lighthouse inspector.
Oh?
I'm a liquor inspector. And I'm just wondering why you've got that foghorn going.
Well, he
put it on to please a man who called in this evening. A very nice captain. And he asked Duncan as a special favor if he'd put the foghorn on, too. To let his first mate know that it was perfectly safe to come in.
He didn't explain to you that he was a rum runner?
A rum runner?
Of course.
Oh,
that man?
One of the biggest Duncan. Operators in the business.
Oh, my goodness. I was warning them.
If you'll just step over to the window, you'll see their boats down there on the beach. Unloading cases of whiskey.
I was letting them know it was safe to come in.
Well, it's not quite as safe as they think it is.
Oh?
Thanks to our suspicions about your foghorn. My men are down there hiding in the bushes, waiting for them to land at all on the beach.
Oh?
Well, I must hurry back.
Inspector, you won't report me to Ottawa.
No, I won't say a word, Mr. McGregor. You've been a great help.
Oh, what have I done?
Oh, just imagine.
What have I done?
Oh, rum runners.
If Ottawa ever hears about this... Oh, Jenny, what have I done? My reputation is ruined.
Oh, you didn't mean to help them.
Consorting with criminals. Using government property for illicit purposes. Oh, I'll never hear the end of it.
Oh, come, Duncan. It's not that bad.
And me setting myself up as such a model. For the daughter to be following. Oh. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. I'll never say another bragging word the rest of my life.
Oh, no, Dad, you mustn't take on so.
You won't tell anyone, will you?
Well, you know I wouldn't do that.
Has daughter come back?
Not yet.
Well, turn on the radio.
She'll think you're letting her keep it.
Oh, I don't suppose it's any more wicked... than the milling frolics we used to go to.
Oh. You haven't forgotten?
No, lass. No. I haven't forgotten.
Well, one thing leads to another, you know.
Aye.
And maybe it'll be the same with radio.
Oh, turn it on, woman.
Oh, Duncan. You don't have to.
I said, turn it on...
You really want me?
Hurry, woman, hurry. I want to hear who's winning. Jack Dempsey or Carpentier.
That was The Case of the Lighthouse Bard, another episode in the series The Rum Runners, written by Norman Creighton. Inspector McMulloch was played by Bill Fulton, Duncan by Joseph Rutten, Jen by Joan Ornstein, Margaret by Flora Montgomery, and Pete by Bruce Armstrong. The musical score was arranged and conducted by David Woods. The Rum Runners was directed for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation by Peter Duncan and produced by Alan Yates of the CBC International Service in Montreal.